Father, once again, we're here today in your house. We thank you for the privilege you give us. We thank you for the opportunity. Dear God, we come today, Lord, as we come before you, Lord. We need your help today. We ask you, Lord, to use the Word of God by the Spirit of God today to challenge us as your children, Lord, to walk with you and, Lord, to follow you. Lord, sometimes it's very easy to get our eyes on people. Lord, in this world we live in, but Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to focus upon you. Because really, Lord, you're the only one that, Lord, we need to follow in this life. And Lord, I just pray you give us that understanding, give us that wisdom today. And God, as we look into your word now, Lord, may you be our teacher. May you lead us and guide us today. And always say, Lord, may your people be encouraged today. And Lord, most of all, may you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 14, first of all, please, as we review a little bit from what we did last January, we're going to review a little bit, and then we'll get into our one today. Luke chapter number 14, we're talking about what it takes to follow Jesus, what it takes to follow Jesus, a disciple, being a disciple, if you please, of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last month, we looked at this text, Luke 14, verse 15, 25 through 35. We're not going to read it today, but we're going to look at it just a minute and see what Jesus is trying to imply here. As we see, first of all, he gives instruction. In verse 25, he says, "And there went great multitudes with him," that is Jesus, "and he turned and said unto them." Now, look, he's giving them instruction here. Instruction as far as discipleship, talking about following me. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now he gives two things here, instruction. First of all, we have to be willing to deny people in our life to follow the Lord. Now, we're not to forsake people, but we are to deny people sometimes and being faithful to God and following the Lord Jesus Christ here. See, he gives us an introduction here on being a disciple. First of all, in regards to our family and what we're to do. And then we also see in verse 26, he talks about in regard to ourselves. We have to deny ourselves many things in this world in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be pleasure. It may be recreation. It may be a number of things in this life we have to deny if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be faithful to him. You know, really, folks, there's nothing in this world that is not worth denying just to follow Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world we can enjoy. God's given us opportunities in this world to have a lot of things. But none of those can compare with the fact of following the Lord. That is doing what God wants us to do on a daily basis, following him. So he gives us instruction in regards to our family, to ourselves. And then he illustrates in verse 25 through 35, this also, talking about a building that's unfinished, a war that's incomplete, unsuccessful, and then the salt that's flavorless. Again, emphasizing here the importance of following the Lord. Making disciples is essential to carrying out the Great Commission. Making disciples is essential to carrying out the Great Commission. Also, being a disciple is essential in being a disciple. Making disciples. If I'm going to help anybody else to be a disciple, I have to be one myself. You know, people learn from us what we do, how we live. You know, it's very, very important, the life that we live. Now, we know that Jesus began this program, if you please, of getting the Great Commission out. He began it with, first of all, ordinary people, just plain ordinary people like you and I. He also used people that have problems. People that have problems, he used those. And also he used people that even doubted him. He used those kind of people to get the Great Commission going. We see that here. So all of us should seek to do all we can to be disciples and also to make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. It's a job, it's a task, but it's a wonderful thing to do, to be able to follow the Lord and do what he wants us to do. The greatest life to live on earth is what God wants us to do. Now, we talked about what it takes to follow Jesus. First of all, we have to be a learner. We have to be willing to learn. We learn from experience. Going out visiting, we learn, okay? Every time you go out to visit, every time you talk to somebody, wherever you are, the grocery store at all, you're going to learn something if you ask questions. You're going to learn how better to witness even if we do this. So we need to be a learner to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we need to be open. We need to be open to other people's ideas and other people's suggestions and other people's maybe way they do things, because we don't have it all ourselves, folks. We don't. We can learn so much from somebody else, no matter who they are, no matter who they are. So we need to be a learner, we need to be open, and we need to be teachable. Teachable. Be willing to learn from somebody else. Be willing to learn from somebody, not just to listen, but to learn from somebody else. Sometimes we have to catch ourselves. When we're talking to somebody or someone's talking to us, if we're not careful, we'll talk the same time they're talking and nobody's listening. You ever done that? You ever caught yourself doing that? Well, we need to learn to listen to people. Learn to listen to somebody, because everybody, we can learn something from everybody. We really can. And we need to recognize this today also. So today we're talking about discipleship, being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, first of all, a disciple demonstrates a servant's heart. A servant's heart. A servant's heart is someone who's willing to serve. To serve. To serve people. To serve Christ. Just to be a servant. Just to be a servant. And we do this by helping in many practical ways in our life. Being a servant. Being a servant. The late president of a Christian college said once, and I quote, "Our job is not to train leaders, but to train servants." Servants. You realize today that this was a tremendous goal for this school. As they said that, well, the world has all too many leaders, but very few servants. The Bible instructs us and emphasizes serving others, does it not? Serving others. And what a blessing it is to be able to serve one another together in the capacity here at the church and also other areas of life, you see. A great example of that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he washed the feet of his disciples. We're going to get into that just a little later in our lesson today. We see that Jesus himself, again, his demonstration of love and of servant, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. My, what a servant he was. What an example he was for us to look at today as far as serving people. Jesus taught disciples to be servants. To be servants. Serve one another. Serve one another. What a blessing it is to be able to do something for somebody else. Not just ask them, just do it. You know, just do something for somebody else. It's a blessing, folks. It really is. Discipleship involves being a servant. Being a servant. We're going to look at that today. We see, what is a servant? Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. What is a servant? We see here the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church of Rome. We see here in this instance that of course, he was in a shipwreck, you know, later on in this passage. But in Romans chapter 1, we find here Paul, what's the next word? Servant of who? Jesus Christ. Paul says, "I'm a servant of Jesus Christ." Not only did he say that, he said here, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul said, first of all, I'm a servant. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a servant, he says. Paul introduces himself to the churches here in Rome as a servant, then as an apostle. Now, an apostleship was an office. Servant deals with people. A servant deals with people here. Paul deals with people. He dealt with people many times, you see, in his life. The greatest honor that anyone can grant us is to be called a servant of Christ. The greatest honor that we could be called is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving him. Doing what he wants us to do. After all, he loves us. We can't imagine how much he loves us. He's due our service, isn't he? He really is. He really is. We see here, to serve God, we must serve others. To serve God, we can serve others. We will serve others. because we get into that practice of serving people and serving God together. And what a blessing it is to be able to do that. Servants deal with people. It's a heart that's willing to go out of the way to meet the need of someone else's. A way to go out. Go out of your ordinary way and doing something for somebody else. That's being a servant. That's being a servant. Servants can mean a variety of things. According to the scriptures, we see here that many times a servant is called a slave in the Old Testament. We see that. But we find here there's two types of servants, two types of slaves in the Old Testament. Now, I want us to look at servants and discipleship. All of us who would be disciples of Jesus Christ, we must realize that we are to be His servants. We're to be His servants, first of all. Serve Him first, to be His disciples. It's very obvious to others if we are a servant. Did you know that? People know people that are servants. It's easy to pick up on what they do, what they say, how they handle themselves, their gestures and all this. They like to serve people. And it's very obvious when people are that way. Many times, many people sometimes have the doctrine of Scripture all down pat, knowing the Scriptures, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. But many times those people are unfamiliar with service. They're unfamiliar with serving. Unfamiliar with serving. Others are doing Bible studies and memorizing the Scriptures and all these things, but have very little time spending serving God. Serving God. The time we have, folks, in a week, we need to spend some time serving God. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. We need all these things, but all needs to come together and serving the Lord somehow. Serving the Lord somehow. You say, how do I serve the Lord? There's many ways to serve God. Many ways to serve God. I'm afraid one of the greatest weaknesses in Christianity today is this thing of being a servant. Being a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. The servants are few, while the need and opportunities are many today. Folks, the fields are white to harvest. Do you know that? The fields are white. Are we in the fields? Are we in the fields? There's a need for service today in the fields. Jesus says the harvest is white. The labors are so few. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives an example of himself here we're going to look at in just a minute about being a servant. Now, we see how we can be servants. How can I be a servant? Number one, we can be a servant by being willing to do anything. By willing to do anything, any task that may come up, any task. We see in Acts 28, verses 1 through 3, where Paul and his disciples were on a ship, they run up on the bank and got stuck, and they had to finally get to shore and went out to this little town, so to speak, you see. And they were there, and it was raining, it was cold. And they wanted to build a fire. So Paul went around and tried to gather sticks, remember, to come and put on the fire. And when he put the sticks on the fire, what happened? A serpent ran out. It ran straight to Paul, did it not? And it like stoned him, you see. And they marveled at the fact that it didn't make him sick. Nothing happened to him because God protected him. Because why? He was serving the Lord. He was serving the Lord. He was doing something for God. Therefore, God protected him even in that instance there. We see here, Paul as a servant is demonstrated there in that. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. First of all, be willing to do any task to be a servant. Number one, to be available. Number two, to be available, I'm sorry. Number two is to be available to do a task. Be available to serve the Lord. In whatever capacity, you're maybe encouraged to do that. We see here in Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse number 57. Luke 9, verse 57. This is another test here of discipleship. Notice it says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. My, what a statement to say. Amen. I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. We see here the disciples' question. Here's some half-hearted people here about following the Lord. first of all, we find in verse 57 and verse 58 here, the consideration here of where this man stays, where Jesus stays. We need to consider this. We see here, he says, I'll follow you wheresoever you go. I'll follow you wheresoever you go. In verse number 59 and verse number 60, we hear the family is considered. Notice verse number 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The father is considered here. Verse number 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What's more important? To go and bury a dead person or go and tell somebody about Jesus? Amen? Now, due all respect to families, I'm not saying that. But we see here that the financial family considerations sometimes hinders us doing what we ought to do for God. Amen? If we're not careful, we'll let our family be first when we could put God first. You know, it's easy. It's easy when you got children, you got grandchildren, you got family, you got brothers and sisters, something comes up in your life. It's easy to go there first, is it not? It is. It really is. But we need really to consider, am I doing this first or should I put God first? You know, we only come to God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, maybe Wednesday night. That's it. We have all this to week to do something with our family and be there with the family. So we need to consider this. Sometimes it hinders us. Okay, we need to be willing to do any task. We need to be available. We need to be observant. In other words, be observant to the needs of others. Watch out for the needs of others. Other people have needs. And when we see they have a need, we need to be a servant. We need to serve. Serve with all our heart. Serve with all our heart. And it would say we need to do more than you're asked to do. Do more than you're asked to do. You know, if you're asked to go 1 mile, go 2, the scripture says. Do more than you're asked to do. You know, do in abundance what you can do for somebody else. What a blessing it is. It really is. And if we'll learn to do these things. So how can we be a servant? Be willing to do any tasks. Be available always. Be observant. Looking around where we are, what needs to be done. And then when we do something, do more than you're asked to do. Do more than we're asked to do. Now, turn to John chapter 13. Let's go back here to John chapter 13. As we look at the Lord Jesus Christ being a servant. Now, when we look at his disciples, when we look at all the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see, first of all, there's one that would betray him, right? There's one who would deny him, and then all the others would eventually desert him. He had a group of good guys, didn't he? He had a group of guys that are human. Their nature, they have the same nature you and I have. But we see here in action in John chapter 13, beginning with verse number 1, we find here something that the Lord Jesus did. It wasn't a miracle. It's not a miracle, but something he did to show his love towards his disciples. Now notice in verse number 1, John 13, verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now we'll get back to that in just a minute. But notice in verse number 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. And that after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter and said, Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. Now, let's notice something here. We see here, here's an incident that Jesus Christ was with his disciples, the Passover, after the feast and all. We see here, there, after supper had ended, he got himself a towel wrapped around him, got him a pan of water, and began to wash his disciples' feet. We see here, Jesus is teaching here, not a miracle, but he's teaching humility. Love. His hour is about to come. His time is running short with his disciples. He's trying to display something to them. He's trying to demonstrate something to them here. First of all, he's trying to show his disciples here. First of all, he washed his disciples' feet that he might give proof of his love for them, even to the end, even to the end, until he departs from them. He just demonstrates his love towards them. He appreciates them. He loves them for being his disciples, for following him to the end. Notice here, first of all, they were given him by the Father. These disciples were. They were given him by the Father. Secondly, we see he had purchased them and paid dearly for them. We also see he has sent them apart for himself. He set them apart. These disciples were set apart for himself to serve him and live with him and follow him while they were here. We also see they had devoted themselves to him as a peculiar people. A peculiar people. You know, isn't it strange today? No, it's not strange. It's normal nowadays. But isn't it normal now for people that are Christians to be odd? You know, to be looked down as maybe, you know, strange in this world. Well, you know, that's who we are. We're strangers, aren't we? We're strangers and pilgrims in this world. We have to realize that. The world's not going to look at us like they look at the world. If they do, we're not living like we ought to live. Amen? And so we're to be strangers. We're going to be different in this world as people here. And so we see here, here's what's happened here. So we see Jesus Christ got him a garment around him, a towel, and some water, and began to wash his disciples' feet here. And we see here he did that again to prove his love towards them, even until the end. His time's running out here, very closely here. Those who Christ loves, he loves to the end, folks. He loved his disciples to the end. He loves you and I to the end. His love will never change. I'm amazed at God's love, folks, today. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from his love in this world. He is constant in his love to his people. He loves us in spite of us. Before we got saved, and even since we have been saved, he still loves us in spite of us. He loves us all the time. He rests in love. He loves us all. He loves with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 tells us that. His love never ends. Never ends. I wonder, has my love ended towards him? Do I love Jesus the way I used to love him? Do I love him more today than I loved him yesterday? You know that little song we used to sing in Sunday school, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before? Can we say that and sing it from our heart and really mean it? That every day is sweeter. Every day is sweeter than the day before. Nothing, again, can separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, first of all, that Christ washed his disciples' feet to prove, to demonstrate to them his love towards them unto the end, even to the end of his time when he was crucified. We also see he did this that he might demonstrate his own humility, voluntarily humility. He voluntarily humbled himself. Again, this is not a miracle. This is an act of humility that he was willing to get down before his disciples and wash their feet. Anyone ever washed your feet? Don't it feel good? It feels good when somebody washes your feet. You know, just kind of massage them a little bit and wash them. It feels so good, you know? Now, he is not washing their feet because they're dirty, okay? He's washing his feet again to demonstrate he's willing to do that because he loves them. He loves them. It's an act of humility here. that he gives. He's showing a disciple how we are to be disciples also. Be willing to do anything, whatever it takes, whatever it is. He manifests his love to them by washing their feet. A simple act, a simple act. Have you ever washed somebody else's feet? Huh? Have you ever washed somebody else's feet? Not yours, but somebody else's. I mean, it's an act of humility. But it's an act of, I'm willing to do anything because I love you. I know you have a need, and I'm going to do this because I love you. Maybe somebody that's sick, somebody's not able to do that, you know. Be willing to wash their feet. What an act of humility here. He did before this. He chose this time to do it. We see the time after supper is ended. We see here, they're together there. He chose this time a little before the Passover. Why did he choose this time to wash the disciples' feet? Why did he choose this time to humble himself before his disciples here and do this act? We see here, first of all, look at verse number 1. Why did he choose this time? Verse number 1 says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was what? Come. His hour has come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Why did he choose this time? Because he knew he was leaving soon. We see here he knew now that his hour was come. The hour he's been waiting for all these 33 plus years, okay? This hour has come. It's come now. It's time, you see? He's going to depart out of this world. Where's he going to go? He's going to go to be with the Father, right? He's going to go be with the Father. His time is coming. This is the time he chose to humble himself and wash his disciples' feet. Notice the change that was to pass over the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he must depart. He's going to depart out of this world. He's going to leave this world. Now, whenever he talks about the time here, he's going to pass over our Lord Jesus Christ. We see, first of all, he must depart. He must depart. Now, this departing began at his death. This departing began at his death when he died on the cross. That's when his time began. And we see it was completed when he ascended back to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that this time, he must depart. The change is going to take place here with him. And therefore, he humbles himself before his disciples and shows them how much he loves them. Notice the time of the change here in verse number 1. His hour has come. His hour has come. As we see his hour come, we see, first of all, the triumph, if you please, of his enemies. We got him. He's dead. We're going to kill him. It's going to be over. This hour of the enemies. They were happy because they finally got rid of this man called Jesus. You know, this is the hour he's talking about here. His hour had come. That is the hour of his enemies, a triumph. But yet on the other hand, we see the hour of his own triumph. Victory in Jesus. You know, we see his own triumph here. The hour that his eye had longed for. He longed for this time to come and to die for you and I. What he did from the time he was born there in Bethlehem until this hour come was all in the plan of God, the Father, for him to do. And he did exactly what his Father wanted him to do, did he not? But this hour had come now. It's his time to come. And we see this. The hour of his suffering. He's going to suffer on Calvary like he's never suffered before. As he walked up that hill to Mount Calvary, he suffered like he'd never suffered before. His hour of suffering is now at hand. It's going to come. You see? And just before that hour, he's willing to prove to his disciples, I love you, and I love you to the end. I love you till I die. I love you till I die. My, what a savior, folks. What a servant's heart we see here in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to do that for you and I and do it for everybody. He suffered. He suffered like no one ever saw. In verse number 3, we find here, verse number 3, and Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. We see here his foresight of his hour coming. His foresight. He saw it coming. He knew it was coming. He knew from the beginning that it would come because it was God's plan. For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. And his hour was come. We also see now he knew that it was come. It was come. You know, folks, one day our hour is coming. You know that? It's the point a man wants to die. After this, the judgment. Our hour is coming one day. It's coming. We must apply ourselves to be prepared for that day. We must prepare ourselves to be prepared for that day because it's coming. But we should do all, we should do what good we can to those that we leave behind. Make sure we do everything we can to prove to our family, our loved ones, that we love them. And you know the best thing we can do to prove to our families and our loved ones that we love them? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Because if they don't know Jesus, they don't know love. They don't know what love is. Because he loves them. And God has placed in us as a born-again child of God his love. And we need to demonstrate that love. Just like Jesus did. He demonstrated his love to his disciples by humbling himself and even washing their feet. Even washing their feet. Christ washed his disciples' feet. Not to get them to be nice to each other. Okay? He didn't do that reason. His goal was for them to enter the mission on earth. He wanted them to stay doing what they were doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. Loving one another, loving people. They were to move on into the world. Go on and serve. Go on and serve. Be servants all in the world. He's demonstrating that to them before he leaves, you see. He said they were to serve God. They were to serve others. They were to serve all people. And tell them about salvation, about Jesus Christ dying. Servants. Being a disciple is to being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us today to realize that God wants us to be a servant too. His love within us enables us to be a servant. Do you know that? If he did not live within us by his Spirit, we wouldn't have no desire to be a servant. But because he lives in us, we want to serve him, don't we? May the Lord help us to be servants. Father, thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his example. Lord, the pattern that he demonstrated to us while he was here on this earth. You got to help us, Lord, as the Scripture says, to follow his steps. Lord, that we might live our life according to his will. Father, bless each one of us this week as we go forth. Lord, help us, Lord, to serve in a capacity, Lord, that maybe that we haven't. Lord, may we continue to serve like we are. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs. Father, I pray now, Lord, you be in the service we're about to go into. Bless our preacher. Anoint him afresh, Lord, and bless his singing. Lord, may someone here today be saved, and may you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.